It's very fitting that in a service, worship service this morning, that we also read a portion of God's words that gives thanks to God's providential care. And one of the Psalms is Psalm 65. So through verse 1, we will also further in the sermon look to this this psalm. So the text is the first verse, but we now read the whole psalm. Psalm 65. Let us listen to God's word. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness you will answer us. O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, you establish the mountains by strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water to provide their grain. For you who have prepared it, you water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. As far as the reading of God's word, and may God bless it unto to our hearts. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning's service is a special one for the churches, the Federation, the Free Reformed Churches, designated it to be as a Thanksgiving worship service. Not only the sermon, but as you already have experienced also, the other liturgy items show our joy about God's providential love and care. His abundant care for us. And let's encourage each other to reflect about his providential care and to us as well as to everyone, to the congregation. All we need for body and soul, let's face it, in all circumstances, it was poured out over us. And what fitting it is then also that in this service we too have the baptism of Caleb Scott van Dongen. Last Sunday, the Lord Jesus, in Mark 10, we heard that everyone is included. Everyone, even the little ones, the children, also the babies indeed, belong unto him fully. They are the lambs. So also Caleb Scott, one of the little lamb of the Lord. And you could say that by baptism this morning, the Lord Jesus took Caleb in his lap. Happened to his siblings, to all the little ones here in our midst. And yet his baptism this morning confirmed that indeed he belongs to the family of God. God is his heavenly Father. Christ is his good shepherd. And he is one of us. We all are here as the sheep of the Lord under God's covenantal care. With his parents, he already got God's care even during and after his birth. For our Heavenly Father took health concerns away, and indeed, as we also could see, he is made beautifully. And when he grows up, then also in our midst and in the family, he may learn to speak faith, the faith language. Parents have promised to do so. You have, as congregation, witnessed, and this also, so it is all our task to care for one another, and that means then especially to speak the faith language to one another. That's that covenant language that we are always, in all circumstances, cared for. And every Sunday, every time in our personal Bible reading, we learn that faith language to speak. The work of the Spirit becomes then obvious in the visible fruits of the Spirit, that we live in obedience, in worship, not only on Sunday, but all the days of the week. We live in worship to our faithful God and Father. Indeed, we have many, many reasons today to take time for giving thanks, to take time to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for his covenant care, for his care to each of us has been given in a wonderful way. So thank him for having his embracing and his supporting arms around us, around you. And loved ones, that we do so this morning in church indeed should be indicative for giving our thanks to the God all the time. And for this, that thanksgiving, we need to make and to take then therefore also time. Time for living a life of thanksgiving. And especially opening words of Psalm 65 expressly encourage us to do that, to take time. And so I summarize the message this morning: take time in giving thanks for God's providential care, and do so in stillness, in knowledge, and in commitment to God. Loved, it's very obvious that Psalm 65 wants to encourage us to be joyful, a very joyful psalm as a confession and also in thanks to the Lord. It's a very, Psalm 65 is a very uplifting psalm. And the reason being then that God is the God of our salvation. Of our salvation indeed, here in the house of God, his church. While the Sun of Righteousness shines upon us, the Lord is faithful and gracious, generous. And every day then he shows that greatness to us, his grace and his goodness. Every day therefore stand in awesome wonder to him. And so this morning, in ongoing days, we worship him. We give him our praise, as the verses 1 through 5 expresses. We adore him also for his almighty power in creating and upholding all things. It shows that God is indeed the overflowing fountain of all good. And that's the thanksgiving praise, the rest of the psalm in verses 6 through 13. So it is an uplifting psalm, 65 indeed. God is lauded for his great spiritual and material blessings to his people. Verse 1 then makes clear that we shouldn't give a mere quick thank you to God. Let's do it quickly, over and done with. Verse 1 shows that we shouldn't do that. Look at verse 1, how it starts. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. Praise is awaiting you. Now that's somewhat a puzzling phrase. And it's indeed, it is the common translation, then often explained as praise is due to God. Now, it's possible to read that verse this way. However, the original language points to something else. It directs the attention to the mode, to the attitude, how we should give praise to God. God's people first need to properly prepare themselves to worship God, to pray, and to praise to him. So people, we should start in stillness. In stillness to God. Our forebears understood that better than we do, now in living in a very hectic world. We often let ourselves be overwhelmed by all the demands our time places before us. But our days should not be filled with the carrying out of our daily jobs, chores, and claims just like that. Shouldn't be filled with that. Should be filled with something else. In regard of modern claims on our time, think of today's technological communication devices, sports activities, spending time to hobbies, and you name it. Lots of activities, which in themselves are not bad. Yet often prevent us to give proper time to live with God and to speak to God. In Scripture, though, God's people gave much of their time in silence to God. And that's why our forebears, maybe ask dad, mom, granddad, the older senior members here, our forebears started, for example, church in silence. Before the service started, there were a number of members, a couple of minutes silence. And by doing so, they expressed, "Oh God, here we are in your presence, in your holy presence. And here we empty ourselves of all the distractions. And we eat. Yes, we make time for you as the most holy and reverent God." Well, that's, beloved, that's precisely what verse 1 of Psalm 65 wants to tell us. It is, start in worship, in prayer, in praise. Start with a moment of silence. Be quiet. Be still. Beware of being in God's presence. Radiate rest and peace before the holy God of heaven and earth. He is your life's source, and he will provide you with all you need. So here, as we sometimes hear and there also hear that people say and comment, here we are not concerned with me time, but with God time. You wait on him. And our forebears understood that. Most probably they applied Luther's translation of our text. The reformer Luther translated the first verse 1 as follows. O God, man praises you in the quietude of Zion, and man pays his vow to you. And in the context of the whole Bible, that is exactly the attitude God requires of his people. Before we come to praise and thanksgiving, we must be a quiet time. We must be silent. It's a thought indeed that you come across in the Bible that we read. Be still. Listen to God's word. Be still. Wait on the Lord, what he says and does. In Luke 10, the Lord commends Mary for her quiet attitude in his presence, while, as you know, the busybody Martha, he admonished her for her active and disruptive behavior. The silence of quietness of our text can be compared with the rest of the fourth commandment. On the Lord's day, a believer stops all his own activities, and then in silence, he or she, we together then abide in the presence of the Lord. And as we also recently saw in Psalm 27, then we behold in silence, we behold the Lord's beauty. We gaze on all his blessings being in his presence. So in an attitude of stillness and rest, what Lord's Day 38 and states about the fourth commandment, that we rest so that we let the Holy Spirit work. We let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts. Loved ones, it won't be lost time to be still before the Lord. It won't be lost time to be quiet and make time to prepare and wait on the Lord to worship him in praise and thanksgiving. Look, the poet of Psalm 65 takes time with God. He doesn't barge in with him. He doesn't shoot off his mouth before him. No, he knows he needs to be silent before his holy God, his God of salvation. So our attitude must indeed be a humbly quieted one to meet our most holy God in Zion, in church, in the church, in our personal worship at home, to worship him. But then a child of the Lord does not stay silent. Having pondered about who God is and his exciting works and gifts, Psalm 65 is bursting out in praise of God's greatness, his grace and goodness. In this way, he meets his holy and faithful God. Note then who he addresses and who God is for him. For he is his God. And he is in Zion. In the Old Testament, in Zion, Zion was then a material place, that is the tabernacle and the temple. In the New Testament, God has a spiritual house, the church of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, as we also saw in a recent sermon on Matthew 16. So to our worship here belongs that we acknowledge who God is, that we know him, yet in his greatness, but also how we need to know him in his forgiving work as our Redeemer. We confess him, as we already have also mentioned a few times. We confess our Lord, as we find in Exodus 34, that he is a compassionate God, a gracious God. He is slow to anger, and you see it through the whole Bible through. God doesn't make short with people, not at all. He is compassionate, long-suffering, and he shows them time and again his steadfast love and faithfulness. Though he is the ruler, the king of this earth, though he is the sovereign God, the almighty God, wonderfully, he is God. He leans his ear to us, his chosen people. He hears our prayers. And then he spoils his people, us, with all his spiritual and material blessings. And as it were, also as a good shepherd, he draws us always close to himself. But that's this, but it happens. Though we have come here, most of us, in motorized cars, the one more fancy maybe than the other. However, beloved, know that you actually are pulled here. God has pulled us here to his house. The Holy God has brought us near him, so that we live, as the psalmist said, that we live in his court. So we are filled with the good things of his house. The poet especially thinks of what God does, what he does with that huge mountain of our sin. So with him, we know and confess that God, what is he doing? What does the Almighty God do with that mountain of our sin? God, so to speak, he places all his power against that mountain of sin, and he shoves it away, never to be seen again. And so we know our Almighty God as the one who makes room for us by that action. And that actually, beloved, is the meaning of an Old Testament word, a Hebrew word, but actually somewhere you know it all, and I repeat it here, I will mention it here, that Hebrew word is yasha. Maybe in certain catechism classes or preaching you have heard that word as well, because that word somewhere is also mentioned in the name Joshua or Jesus. That word means room. You have space. You have salvation. In God's people, you and I, we know God, therefore, as God of salvation. Joshua made room for God's people in the promised land. The Lord Jesus is also known, for his name should be Jesus, for he will save his people from all their sins. Jesus especially made room for all of us unto eternal life. And so, beloved, know God as the God of your salvation. And that means the forgiveness of sins, atonement. It is mentioned also in the psalm. In the Old Testament, the priest showed that. He sprinkled the blood of the sacrifices on the cover of the ark. In the New Testament, God once and for all, read the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, God once and for all has shown his forgiving strength through the atonement of his Son, Jesus our Lord. And so here, through the gospel, we know that God has sprinkled our hearts to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed in pure water. Also on Thanksgiving, have that in mind. Don't only look to the outward things of what you all get. The most important thing for to thank him for working faith in you and living in faith. And recently, the Lord made this also clear to us by celebrating the Lord's Supper and this service again through the sacrament of the baptism of Caleb. He showed his great truth of our faith knowledge, that we have come close to the Lord Jesus, who made room and makes room for us as the complete salvation. So that's what we also do. And at Thanksgiving, we do so in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, as we heard from the form of baptism. The poet doesn't merely focus on God's working atonement. He also knows him in his great and mighty deeds mentioned and in God's raising of the mountains, his creation work, or his calming the turbulent waters, and also his control over all nations, including Australia. And how he does show his greatness. You were waiting for that. God's greatness is shown in fields and pastures. For when on a summer day we drive through the country, what do we see? And then we see the golden grain ripening. We see the millions of suns in the sunflowers. Yes, we see, as it were, God waving to us in the wheat belt. Now, we appreciate all the work the farmers do. The fields took a lot of their investments. And you may be proud of your own veggie garden, yet no. Who made it grow? Even the children here will answer immediately, they know. God put it all, made it grow. All those numbers of little peas in the pods, God counted them and put them in. Who gave all the beautiful colors in fields and pastures? Who made it all? Again, we know God colors the fields, makes the crops grow. And children, do you know how to celebrate, especially a Thanksgiving Sunday? Well, I suggest make a poem. Beloved, make a poem and reflect in that way on the blessed care of the Lord, what the Lord gave you throughout your life, in particular, focus then on God's wonderful work in the fields around you to bring, indeed, food, drink on your table. The farmers prepare the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. The Lord's sends the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. The Lord directs the heavy road trains forth from the wheat belt to Albany's port. And with the butter and bread, our table is set by God. And that's why we thank him for our blessed lot. Just give it to you as continue also to really dwell and meditate on the abundance that God gives to you every day again. And last ones, do you hear the fields singing? Do you, do your tables sing? Not audibly, no. Do the things you built and work for, do they sing? No. They don't articulate praise and thanks to God. And though the flocks in the pasture make noise, they don't sing either. And yet, at the end, Psalm 65 says they shout for joy. They also sing. Well, if the voiceless creatures and things give praise to God, how much more should we do so? Not just a quickie. Take time for that. We who know God as the creator of our life and provider for all our need should get all our things in your hearts, in your homes. Take time and give praise and thanks to Him for all His covenant blessings. For you know who God is. And so do observe that He continues to fulfill His promises to you in all that covenant care, day by day by day. Beloved, what does this positive and upbeat spiritual life show as well? A life of praise and thanks show commitment to God. That's what the poet says with the words, the last words of this first one, where it shows, where it says, "And to you the vow shall be performed, and to you the vow shall be paid." Well, that sentence of our text affirms all what is and what you already have heard, what is mentioned before. For you know the flip side of praise is commitment, of confession. That is that you commend and commit yourself to God with your whole life. You vow to Him that you want to live in obedience of faith, in thankfulness to Him. And again, I say that you make time for Him. That's actually what you vow to. You show to the Holy God and to the world around you that you have Him as your salvation, that through Him you have peace and rest, that you love Him because, as you know, He loved you first. Such a committed life to God and His cause also means love one another. You see, when you care for one another, when you perform your vow, you also, in doing that, you give thanks even to God. And so support each other. Work at each other's salvation in humble prayer. That is, in an intimate covenant way with faith language. And so fulfill your vows to the Lord. Make Him great in song and praise, in worship, in church, family worship, worship at home, personal worship, in your house, in your rooms. Constantly meditate how God had made and continues to make space, room, salvation indeed for you. In His house, in His presence, as now, you meet your holy God who is peace and gives you peace. Then day by day, through His sun and moon, through the ocean wind and rain. The ocean wind. I've heard speaking here the wind here is the Albany doctor. But actually the wind too has healing in His wings. God provides that also for our life and praise to him. He provides for all our needs by his care, by his fatherly hand. He opens his hands, being the overflowing fountain of all good, as we confess in Belgian Confession, Article 1. And so, beloved, rejoice. You may taste God's bountiful life. What does that do to us as God's people and children? First, indeed, as we have heard, it makes us still before him. And we do so in awe and wonder. It makes us to know God more and more. And yes, too, it makes us ready and willing to live in God-fearing awe and fear in a committed life. So being lavishly cared for by our covenant God, then we are also radiant to others because we have an almighty God in Christ Jesus through his Spirit and to our complete salvation. What a blessing and joy. What blessings you get. And how blessed you all are. Praise him as his saints with every blessing of salvation he will provide till all are satisfied. Amen.